Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the second series of the Gorosch & Gorosch podcast on how to complete a degree course in English and the Arts and Humanities. This is now episode 4. And after we have covered the writing process of a final thesis, in Clara's case, it's history, and on a topic which is using three different geographical regions in the period of industrialization and social movement in Britain, France, and Germany at the beginning of the 19th century. You already guess as listeners that there is need of central categories, that there's a need of defining things, that's a need of using a meta level or establishing a meta level to discuss and bring together these various movements, regions, and historical, specific historical developments in France, in Germany, Silesia, and in Britain. The section that we're doing now, the episode we're doing now, is dedicated to working with theory, dedicated to working with concepts. And something which I would like to briefly present from my point of view to begin with is the difficulties that students report to me very often, the difficulties working with theory, asking themselves, what is theory? In my case now, theories in literature, literary theories. Because for the analysis and interpretation of literary texts, we need literary theories. Very often students have no understanding or very little understanding of theories and how they work, how we define them, and think that they perhaps have no need of using any kind of theory. And for this way of work, I would like to caution you of this way of working, because even if you think you don't have a theory, you have one. The key is, as in history, as in all arts and humanities, we have to make ourselves aware of the fact that we're following certain pre-established patterns of interpretation, even if we don't acknowledge them. The step for a bachelor thesis, master thesis, in a final thesis, the step is to make yourself conscious of the theories that you're employing. And a theory in literary studies, a structuralist definition, is a system of categories used to explain a certain kind of subject matter. So we are back into the idea of what is a category, what is a concept, with the structuralist definition of theories. If we take into account a more political definition of theories, every theory is a Weltanschauung. The Weltanschauung is an English term taken from German philosophy. They've borrowed this, and this means creed or political belief. Even if you think you don't have one, nevertheless, you have one. And the set of theories that we list in the guidelines and reading material in British and Postcolonial Studies on the second page, author-oriented, reader-oriented, code-oriented, and context-oriented theories, all of these operate on you, even though you don't know it. What we have to do is to make it open, make it visible, bring it into the open, and then consciously choose a concept or several concepts to apply the concept as an interpretive foil to a literary text. That is, I have an idea of what the text is doing, and in your case, it was not a literary text, but secondary material covering kind of primary stuff, that is the historical movements, and the secondary material that you were using actually operated on archival work. It's not you that did it, but the scholars' work you used did this kind of archival work. So what theories do is they allow us to focus on certain aspects of our primary material, bring out these aspects, and comment on them in an informed manner. What was your central category, Clara? Which kind of, or concept? These two are a bit different, but you may choose either concept or category as the central term. Which was yours, and how did you go about making this process of establishing this process of bringing it into the open, your way of working, your way of thinking, your way of interpreting these social movements?
Mm-hmm. I had several concepts, which were like two main groups. I had class, so I looked at the... how do you call it in English? Akteure?
Agents.
Agents, these are the agents. Yes. Mm-hmm. And my other concept group was revolt, revolution, mm-hmm. and uprising. Mm-hmm. So I looked in history dictionaries for definitions, but also used four different disciplines: historiography, as I said, sociology, political science, and psychology. And each of those different disciplines focus on different aspects in those categories, concepts. And so my work is now to find out where is the surplus value, or added value, if you want to say that like this, from my argument. So I put all those three disciplines together, combined them for a working theory, a working concept for me, for example, class. So mm-hmm. looked sociology, how do they define class? And sociology looks at the interaction of mm-hmm. people. And political science, they look at also the political structure, the political context those agents mm-hmm. interact in. And historiography looks back at the past, so the historical context. And psychology, they look at what the people are like thinking mm-hmm. when they behave.
Mm-hmm.
So all this puts together for my uprisings, because I had for my analysis three subcategories: mm-hmm. Communication, organization, and reception. And the first two, communication, organization, I really need all those different aspects of class to work together.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And on top of combining four disciplines, I needed to combine three languages. Mm-hmm. But because in each language, the words mm-hmm. Mean slightly mm-hmm. something else.
Mm-hmm. 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 Well, the concept, understanding of class, and what you had to do, of course, was look at class in the early 19th century.
Early 19th century, mm-hmm. yes.
And there, of course, they following the differing social organization in Silesia, in mm-hmm. Lyon, in France,
Lyon,
and in Britain,
yeah.
these definitions, of course, resulted they were different.
They were different, yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
So this managing this, and then put this into clear German, because you were writing your thesis
in German. And so all of the fear of reading and finding definitions of four disciplines and in four three languages, I did this before writing my main
mm-hmm.
part,
mm-hmm.
and after the main part, when I find out what definitions mm-hmm. work best, I mm-hmm. came back mm-hmm. at the end mm-hmm. and finished
mm-hmm.
my theory part.
Mm-hmm. Very good. So something that you have done as your main work, that is the historiography, the historical part, and historical definitions in dialogue with contemporary definitions,
mm-hmm.
that is definitions today.
Yes.
Is actually, this was the mainstay of your work.
Yeah.
For my students in British and post-colonial studies, writing bachelor and master theses, of course, this is something that we need to do in addition. Working
mm-hmm.
historically, working, choosing context-oriented theories needs this kind of preparatory work. So we do what we have to do, what you did,
mm-hmm.
Choose a concept, choose definitions at the time of the time when the novel, let's choose a novel as an example, was actually written, and of course comparing this to today's ways of defining in this term class.
Mm-hmm.
And something that I find very important in my own work is exactly class. I've been working on the 19th century a lot, and if you think of the early industrialization, and Britain is, as we know, the first country to industrialize.
Yes, yes.
Writers like Charles Dickens with Hard Times, and Elizabeth Gaskell with Mary Barton, and North and South come to mind. And here, of course, is a difference between the working as a historian and as a literary studies scholar. So as I just said, we need to do some kind of work that you did.
Mm-hmm.
But as literary studies scholars, we need to do extra work.
Yeah.
Because we look not as class as such, but as representation, at representations of
mm-hmm.
class in literary texts.
Mm-hmm.
So representation means the text choose from a wealth of possibilities to represent class in writing, like the working classes, the industrial middle classes, and the new classes in the 19th century. Elizabeth Gaskell's North and South, published in 1854 to 55, was one of the first industrial novels to do exactly this.
Mm-hmm.
And she chooses from, or fictionalizes Manchester, but she chooses from the industrial conflict between the factory owners and the workers in this early industrial mill town in the English north of the English part of Great Britain, to discuss changes in society. So what we have to do, in addition to defining class and gathering knowledge about the historical context, is looking at the aesthetics, at the way a literary text is composed, a way a text actually works and makes certain statements. And this is exactly where then class makes a reappearance. Mm-hmm. Do you have any kind of recollection of working, of looking at the language of your sources? Or is that something that you just took for granted? It's like transparent and the words are what they are? Or did you find yourself in some kind of interpretive work here too?
Yes, of course. As one language isn't transparent, so you always need to... it's not just looking up the words so that you understand them correctly. But as you said beforehand, also the secondary literature uses also theories. So in like France and Great Britain, they use the same theories as we do, but in a different way. And this is they do that through the language. So you need to analyze the language on top as well.
Mm-hmm.
So not just the categories mm-hmm. that they are explaining, but mm-hmm. the way that they mm-hmm. are explaining mm-hmm. it. Mm-hmm. And this is the way because you can use that as well for yourself, for your writing. You can just adapt that theory that they're using for your work.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Mm-hmm. But one has to definitely
spend time with the language. Mm-hmm. Oh yes,
on the language and with the secondary material, something that's very important. All of us work with theories, as I said in the
mm-hmm.
beginning,
mm-hmm.
and what you did and what we have to do is watch out for the concepts and categories
yeah.
in secondary material.
Yeah,
to
look
out
for keywords.
Establish their theories.
Yeah, and I always highlighted then. I think in blue. My color for theory and thesis statements was blue.
Mm-hmm.
So every time I found like specific words, keywords,
mm-hmm.
I highlighted them. I thought, okay, he's to that theory,
mm-hmm.
he
mm-hmm.
belongs
mm-hmm.
to that, she
mm-hmm.
does
mm-hmm.
use
to
that.
Establish that theory in the sense of a political creed, in
yeah.
the sense of a political Weltanschauung,
mm-hmm.
and all of, especially with historians, you cannot
yeah.
write about any kind of these subjects without having a particular political
yeah.
belief system
mm-hmm.
or credo in your mind, and this of course influences your assessment. And thank you
yes.
very much for pointing this out, because we have to decode, we as scholars, both historiographers and literary studies scholars, we have to decode these approaches from the very
mm-hmm.
text that we're studying to then develop our own take on it. Good, Clara. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
This talk about class, and see you again.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.